Well, joining me now on the phone is Jim Durkin. He is the Illinois House Republican leader from Western Springs. And I wanted to have Leader Durkin on to kind of get his take of the ever-evolving situation in Springfield that leads to no end. Leader Durkin, thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Glad to be on. I wish I could be in studio, but the Bank of America run has shuffled me off course, and I'm in a very quiet, obscure toe zone area that I think I'm in good position until the I get hooked up by the tow truck, and then maybe we'll lose some of that clarity we have right now. But good morning, Rick.
Good morning, and I have to apologize. And truly, I did not know the Shamrock Shuffle was this morning until this morning. So I would have sent you plenty of advice if I had known, and that's my fault. But thank you
for... Well, Rick, both of us being the health nuts that we are, both of us, if we would have known, we would be running right now, correct?
Oh, yeah, right. And in fact, I was going to actually say that you were parking your car so you could take place in the run as well. But yes, but we all know better than that. But seriously, thanks for accommodating us. You know, we've seen ups and downs in the last month or so about whether we can get to any resolution of this budget impasse, particularly efforts made on the side of the Senate. Between Democratic President John Cullerton and Senate Republican Leader Chris Redonio, the so-called grand bargain. And it just seems more and more clear that this doesn't look like it's going anywhere.
Well, they got out of the box and back in the earlier in the year, and things didn't quite work out. But I applaud both the leaders in the Senate for moving forward and trying to construct a deal which would, at least the intentions were, that would respect the priorities of both parties and also bring a resolution to this impasse, pay down our deficits, get back to reforming our pension systems and helping our business community. But things have fallen astray. There is a window of opportunity for us to get this done over the next 2 months. I know most people down there feel that, you know, that there's no resolution in sight, but I do talk to the rank and file on a regular day, not only from my caucus, but also the Democrat caucus. And to say that there is a desire to bring this to resolution is an understatement. So we still have time. I am not throwing in the towel. I hope that the Senate will continue with their work and get the best deal that they can. That means that, you know, it's not one-sided. You know, the Democrats will be asking a lot from us, but the fact is we need to ask, you know, the same. So I think, as I said, we got some time, but this needs to come to conclusion. It's the right thing for the state of Illinois on so many levels. And I just look at what's the debt that is being piled up, services that are no longer have been struggling for the past 2 years, and the list goes on and on. But the fact is, let's get this done.
But haven't we gotten to the point where really 2018 politics has infected the process so badly that the motivations of reaching a settlement, the idea of, you know, political blame game, have just gotten so great, and the enmity among between Governor Rauner and House Speaker Michael Madigan has grown so great that there is no impetus for compromise.
Well, clearly there's I think that the Speaker's conflict with the governor was front and center this week on two major initiatives, and one of them is the sale of the Thompson Center, and that's a piece of legislation that has been around for 3 years, and we've been ready. I sent a letter to the Speaker back in February saying, you know, what are your problems with this? Because he made a statement that, you know, he has some technical concerns with the legislation. I wrote a letter to him asking him to please raise those issues with us. Let's resolve it. Let's get this piece of property off the state ledger, put it back in the tax rolls. And then just a few days back, the Speaker threw cold water on it with a litany of reasons why he said it was not acceptable, which I don't accept. And earlier in the week was a I think an excellent idea from the governor from over a year and a half ago, which would allow for a managed lane system on I-55, the most populated and the busiest freeway in Illinois, which again, Speaker threw cold water on it. And I'm getting to a point where I believe the Speaker is more interested in ensuring that this governor does not get a legislative success that continues to starting to percolate more and more. But I will say this, his members are not accepting of this. His members need to rise up and say, put it aside. The elections will come and go. But I do believe that the gubernatorial race and blocking the governor from getting any type of legislative success seems to be more apparent. So I'm concerned with that. And, you know, Democrats have feelings about the governor one way or the other. But look at this. Whether it's a president or a governor, if either one of them fails, you know, the nation and the state fails. And that's not acceptable to me. I have made it very clear for 2 years. And, I don't know how many times I got to say this. But myself and my members are willing to negotiate with the Speaker on every issue. And we're not getting there. And every year we do this, we go through this exercise where we have working groups on every one of the major issues that we think are important, and then all of a sudden we think we reach some conclusion, and then all of a sudden the Democrats walk away from the table, and they throw together a ridiculously unbalanced budget, and they expect us to support it, but we don't. And it's just more politics, more political theater, more gotcha votes, and that's not the way to govern.
We're speaking with Illinois House Republican Leader Jim Durkin of Western Springs. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me on the phone is the Shamrock Shuffle hampered Illinois House Republican Leader Jim Durkin, joining me by phone. Unfortunately, couldn't wander his way through the street closings to get into the studio today. Leader Durkin, you alluded to, as far as the issue of the sale of the Thompson Center, about that you wrote a letter to Speaker Madigan to, after all this time, what are your real objections here? The fact that you had to write a letter, do you guys talk at all?
Not often. Good question. Not often. I have a respectful relationship with the Speaker, but I don't have the luxury that Senator Cullerton and Redonio have, which they have they're very conversive and it's a different personality. I've worked with the Speaker for years, but we have limited conversation, and it's usually only when there's a matter at hand, which we have to discuss issues, but I have made it very clear publicly that I've stated it to him at the floor during the when we were sworn in January about our willingness to work with you. But I don't believe I need to come in on bended knee to ask for permission or to. He knows where I'm at. If he wants to work with me, we're open. We want to get it done.
Is part of the problem really, in some sense, the politics of this era? I mean, you've been around for a long time, as have I, and where the power in politics has become so concentrated. And I'm not just speaking of the Speaker. I'm talking about, as well, with Governor Rauner and his financial resources, which basically have revitalized a Illinois Republican Party. But just that we have these two spheres of power, control over campaign funds, campaign resources, the ability to threaten members with primary challenges. I mean, has the stakes of power become so great that is our politics today, and that's also the politics of gridlock?
It's the politics of Washington. It's the politics of Springfield, where it's a tough business. And anybody who wants to get into this needs to realize it's not powder puff. It's hand-to-hand combat. I just watch what's going on in Washington.
But Springfield didn't. What is happening? Springfield didn't used to be that way. Was different.
Rick, remember, Springfield wasn't that way. But for the last 12 years, the Democrats have had plenary control over Springfield. So the Republicans really were not part of the equation. Republicans, they really didn't need our advice, our counsel, nor our votes. But now it's become different because we have, and, you know, just remember, the Democrats historically have outspent Republicans year in, year out for so many years. But now we have a governor that is saying no, who's a different governor than we've seen ever in Springfield, who's willing to back it up with his resources. And we won some races, too. So the fact is that the Democrats are not used to having Republicans push back and not being, holding tough and saying no and not being intimidated or scared or being muscled into submission on certain votes. You know, it's a tough business, but the fact is we're standing up. We are standing up to the status quo, which put this state in the position that it currently is. We've got $12 billion of backlog bills. We've got a $100 billion underfunded pension systems. Republicans want to get these things resolved, and there's no rush to resolve these things right now. And as we said earlier, I think this is going back to the governor's race for 2018.
Well, and one question I do have, though, is, and yes, the Republicans have been the minority party in the legislature, but when you look at what's ahead to try to fix things, if we're truly ever going to get to that stage and not just see the state fall sliding off the cliff, it's going to take some very difficult votes that aren't necessarily votes that Republicans would ordinarily take, such as a tax increase.
Rick, I have stated that over and over again that I am willing to take votes that I probably would have never taken before to break the impasse because it is the best thing for the state of Illinois. But it's more than just a tax increase. It's about fixing our pension systems. It's about improving our business environment. And those have to be part of the equation. That is why it's not a one-way street anymore. There has to be systematic change in Springfield and how we treat, our business community, how we handle our pension systems. And I'll give you an example of just the willingness on behalf of what I'm trying to do. Just a week and a half ago, I introduced a comprehensive pension bill, which would have helped the city of Chicago out with their pension parity payment. But I purposely had 26 co-sponsors placed in the bill. Those are 26 House Republicans who are prepared to vote for, next to breaking, solving the budget, of taking on the next biggest issue we have is our crumbling pension systems. But our 26 votes reflects our proportionate share under a structured roll call to get this done. What that means is that we're prepared to do business. We've got our votes ready. So I've worked with my caucus. I talked to them a lot. We're prepared to negotiate and resolve it. And if the Democrats do not do it in the House, because the House Democrats refuse to take up this offer, then it has nothing to do with anything other than ensuring that the governor gets no success, no wins, to have him walk into the 2018 election in a difficult situation with not showing any major accomplishment, which, as I said earlier, if the governor fails, the state fails, and that's not acceptable for me.
Speaking of that pension bill, and obviously you're a lawyer and I'm not, but you're confident that that plan, which is, Senate President Cullerton's proposal using the consideration model, you do believe that that's constitutional?
I believe it is. We have a better shot at having the Supreme Court uphold this than obviously what happened to Senate Bill 1 a few years back. We take out retirees. We don't touch them. The consideration model is something which the labor unions endorsed 3 years ago during the last pension scrum. This is a good portion of it is what the We Are One coalition backed up, and that the president of the Senate was confident that this would have this would meet constitutional standards.
But when the union backed that was before the Supreme Court issued its ruling on Senate Bill 1, which...
Well, they just can't pivot so quickly. This was part of what they believed, and they put their backing into was on this consideration model. I, as a lawyer, believe that, the relationship that we have between the state systems and also the employees, the court has said, is the contractual relationship. Contracts can be modified under this consideration. This goes back to the common law. Now, it's a little more involved than that, but I believe it's been almost 2 years, Rick, since this opinion came down from the Supreme Court. But to stick our head in the sand and not do anything right now is beyond legislative negligence. So I believe that we have a better shot at it. I've looked at certain parts of the opinion that came down a couple of years ago, and I believe they gave an opening for us to be able to move forward under this consideration argument. Lawyers are going to disagree. That's what we do. But the fact is, I believe that we have to move forward and let the courts do their analysis and let the chips fall where they may. But I believe that this has a better chance of withstanding the scrutiny of the Supreme Court. Now, the consideration model is if that was to be found constitutional, we believe that that's a $1.25 million savings right out of the box. The other parts of the bill, which we believe are there's no constitutional consideration at all, would have a $1 billion savings. But if that portion is found unconstitutional, we do have other aspects of the pension reform bill that will provide meaningful savings, which are going to help stabilize these systems and take the burden off the state budget, which we currently are dealing with because of these enormous pension payments that we are now making with our general revenue funds.
Leader Durkin, thank you so much. And maybe we could move to have a constitutional amendment to ban legislative negligence in the state constitution. I like that phrase.
You like that?
I like that phrase.
Trumpers over here.
Well, thank you so.
It's not too late to jump into the race. I can see him from the distance.
Thank you so much, and I hope you get out of that toe zone very quickly. I appreciate you joining me this morning.
My pleasure, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.